Cassette 10, Side 2.
I still want to stay. What if Jillian's wrong? What if Takata Jim finishes converting the bombs early?
Toshio shrugged.
I still have something he needs.
He glanced down at the second of two sleds in the pool, the one that had belonged to Tom Orley.
Takata Jim won't take off without it.
Exactly!
Denny was emphatic.
He'll need that radio, or the ETs would blast him to bits before he could negotiate. But you'll be all alone. That fin is dangerous.
That's just one of many reasons I'm sending you away right now.
Is this the big macho Mel talking?
Denny tried sarcasm, but was unable to put much bite into it.
No, Toshio shook his head. This is your military commander talking, and that's that. Now, let's get these last samples loaded. I'll escort you and Saud a few miles before we say goodbye.
He bent over to pick up one of the parcels, but before he touched it, he felt a hand in the small of his back. A sharp push threw him off balance, flailing.
Denny!
He caught a glimpse of her, grinning devilishly. At the last moment, his left hand darted out and caught hers. Her laughter turned into a shriek as he dragged her after him into the water. They came up spluttering between the sleds. Denny cried out in triumph as she grabbed the top of his head with both hands and dunked him. Then she leapt half out of the water as something goosed her from behind.
Toshio,
she accused.
That wasn't me.
He caught his breath and backed out of arm's reach.
It must have been your other lover.
My... Oh, no! Saud!
Denny whirled around, searching and kicking, then whooped as something got her from behind again.
Do you scrotum brain males ever think of anything else?
A mottled gray dolphin's head broached the surface nearby. The breather wrapped over his blowmouth only muted his chattering laughter slightly. Long before humans rode out on logs, we made an invention. Care to manage a try at ménage à trois? He leered, and Toshio had to laugh as Denny blushed. That only sent her splashing water at him until he swam over and pinned her arms against one of the sleds. To stop her imprecations, he kissed her. Her lips bore the desperate tang of Kithrop as she kissed him back. Saud sidled up alongside them and nibbled their legs softly, with jagged, sharp teeth.
You know, we're not supposed to expose ourselves to this stuff if we can help it,
Toshio told her as they held each other.
You shouldn't have done that.
Denny shook her head, then buried her face in his shoulder to hide it.
Who are we fooling, Tosh?
He mumbled.
Why worry about slow metal poisoning? We'll be dead long before our gums start to turn blue.
Aw, Denny, that's nuts.
He sought words to comfort her, but found that all he could do was hold her close as the dolphin wrapped himself around them both. A few minutes later, a comm alert buzzed. Stout went over to the unit on Orley's sled, the one connected by monofilament cable to Streaker's old position. He listened to a brief burst of primitive clicks, then squawked quickly in reply. He rose high in the water, popping his breather loose.
It's for you, Toshio.
Toshio didn't bother asking if it was important. Over that line, it had to be. But gently he disengaged from Denny.
You finish packing. I'll be back right away to help.
She nodded, rubbing her eyes.
Stay with her a while, will you, Saud?
He asked as he swam over to the comm unit. The steno shook his head.
I would gladly, Toshio. It's my turn to amuse the lady. Unfortunately, you need me here to translate.
Toshio looked at him uncomprehendingly.
It is the captain.
Saut informed him.
Crydike wants to talk to both of us. Then he wants us to help him get in touch
with the techno inhabitants of this world.
Crikey, calling here? But Jillian said he was missing.
Toshio's brow furrowed as the rest of Sout's sentence sunk in.
Techno? He wants to talk to the Kikri?
Sao grinned.
No, sir. They hardly qualify, fearless military leader. Our captain wants to talk with my voices. He wants to talk to those who dwell below.
Chapter 82 Tom Orley. The brother of 12 shadows piped softly. His pleasure spread through the waters around him, below the carpet of weeds. He swam away from the side of the ambush, the faint thrashing sounds of victims dying down behind him. The darkness beneath the weeds didn't bother him. Never would absence of light displease a brother of the night.
Brother of the dim gloom, he hissed. Do you rejoice as I do?
From somewhere to his left, amongst the dangling sea vines, came a jubilant reply.
I rejoice, senior brother. That group of Paha warriors shall never again kneel before perverted sorrow females, thank the ancient warlords.
We shall thank them in person,
Brother of 12 Shadows answered.
When we learn the location of their returning fleet from the half-sentient Earthers. For now, thank our long-deceased Night Hunter patrons who made us such formidable fighters.
I thank their spirits, senior brother.
They swam on, separated by the 60 body lengths demanded by underwater skirmish doctrine. The pattern was inconvenient with all these weeds about, and the water echoed strangely. But doctrine was doctrine, as unquestionable as instinct. Senior brother listened until the last weak struggles of the drowning Paha ceased. Now he and his fellow would swim toward one of the floating wrecks, where more victims surely awaited. It was like picking fruits from a tree. Even powerful warriors such as the Tandu were reduced to floundering dolts on this carpet of noxious weeds, but not the brothers of the night. Adaptable, mutable, they swam below, wreaking havoc where it could be wrought. His gill slits pulsed, sucking the metal tangy water through. The brother of 12 shadows detected a patch of slightly higher oxygen content and took a slight detour to pass through it. Keeping to doctrine was important, surely, but here, underwater, what could harm them? There was suddenly a flurry of crashing sounds to his left, a brief cry, and then silence.
Lesser brother, what was that disturbance?
He called in the direction his surviving partner had been, but speech carried poorly underwater. He waited with growing anxiety.
Brother of the dim gloom?
He dove beneath a cluster of hanging tendrils, holding a flechette gun in each of his 4 tool hands. What down here could have overcome so formidable a fighter as his lesser brother? Surely none of the patrons or clients he knew of could do such a thing. A robot should have caused his metal detectors to go off. It suddenly occurred to him that the half-sentient dolphins they sought might be dangerous in water. But no, dolphins were air breathers, and they were large. He swept the area around him and heard no likely reflections. The eldest brother, who commanded the remnants of their flotilla from a cave on a small moon, had concluded that the Earthlings were not here in this northern sea, but he had sent a small vessel to harass and observe. The 2 brothers in the water were all that survived, but everything they had seen confirmed the quarry wasn't here. The brother of 12 shadows quickly skirted the edge of an open pool. Had his younger brother strayed into the open
and been blasted by a walker above?